This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It certainly is. And over there on the other side of the table, in the chair, ready to go, is Walter Assey.
The one and only.
The one and only. The one and only.
How are you, Ken?
The king of renovations.
Good to have you back.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was in California. I have family. My wife's brother lives out in the Los Angeles area. And I was explaining to someone this morning. I mean, you've been out to California.
Yeah.
Los Angeles is just one big freeway. And if you want to go anywhere, you've got to get on a freeway. You know, like we're spoiled here where you can sort of get around easily enough. But out there, everything's a 45-minute drive.
Yeah. At least the sun was shining.
The sun was shining, yeah. It was sunny and cool. So I understand we had a lot of rain.
Oh, yeah. I think you choose your vacations accordingly. I just noticed that.
I know. We've been very, very lucky. Yeah. The lawn looks good, though. The lawn's looking very good.
Yeah. I mean, at least you have to see the silver lining somewhere, right?
514-790-0800. If you want to talk to Walter, what kind of a week did you have?
Crazy week. Again, we're still picking up after the ice storm. Obviously with all the flooding. So now we're getting the second wave of reconstruction, if you wish. I mean, now that the emergencies are done and the demolition are done. Mm-hmm. But believe it or not, we're still going to basements that have not been demolished yet. And you see mold, you see all kind of issues. We've also been to certain losses that, or certain floods or in homes that things were not adequately cleaned up. And we're seeing a lot of bad air quality tests coming out.
Oh, really?
So that's a word of caution for everyone. If you had a major occurrence in your basement, please ensure it's not just the aesthetic, breaking things that have warped or anything. It's about the disinfection, the drying, and everything else that goes with it. If not, what you're doing is you're just masking up everything with new material, and mold is going to set into your walls and floor structure, and it's going to grow. I know we're all cutting corners because a lot of basements were underinsured.
So what's the key here? Lots of ventilation?
Drying, disinfection, and adequate demolition. Do not cheapen out on the demo. We're meeting homeowners. They have, 20,000, for example, in coverage, and their losses are 30, 40. My advice to them, if you don't have the budget, at least demolish it right. Disinfect it right. Dry it right. Okay? You could keep it on bare bones, but it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just, spread your budget too thin, and then you're going to have this, basement that is full of mold and, unhealthy air quality. And don't forget, mold eats up on the new material. So that new drywall that you put, it's going to have mold on it in no time.
Mm-hmm. Can I throw you something from the text line?
Of course.
It says, hi, good morning, Ken and Walter. What type of caulking is best for outdoor use? Using it to seal up a patio balcony joints.
Patio balcony joints. What kind of a balcony, though?
It doesn't say.
I mean, there's a lot of exterior caulking out there. There's not really one product that, is better than another. It's just you have to put it on the right temperature and the surface have to be well cleaned. Mm-hmm. That's the secret. If you put it, there is temperature, maximum temperature, cold or hot, associated with the application. You do have certain kind of caulking that can be applied in cold weather, but it's more expensive. So it's really it's not in the brand as much as it is in the application and the preparation of the surface.
I'm going to go to the phone here at 514-790-0800. Again, the number to talk to Walter is 514-790-0800. Al is out in Roxborough. Al, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very good.
At least it's nice and bright and sunny for a change.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a typical Roxborough home that has a low slope. And many years ago, they were tar and gravel. And then the salesman came by and tried to push everybody to use shingle, which didn't work, of course, for a low slope because we had ice dams that would build up and ice would invariably infiltrate underneath the the shingles push them up, and then you'd have all sorts of issues. So then people started going back to tar and gravel, but now we're seeing people use these tarps, and a few people are going with steel, but not so sure exactly what the answer is between tar and membrane tar and gravel tarp and of course steel.
Okay, so when you say tarp, are you meaning elastomeric roofing?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. A word of caution about metal roofs. Okay, metal roofs are great, but it's not really the metal roof that stops the water. It's what you put underneath it. So a lot of time when you see metal roofs, you see a membrane, an ice shield type membrane underneath the metal roof. And when you screw the metal roof into that membrane, it seals the screws and what have you. What's great about metal roofs is they don't decay as fast as shingles. So their lifeline is way higher. And then the snow slides way quicker. So that's one positive about them. And talking about the pros and cons, now it's expensive to install. That will be, if you want, one hindrance budget wise, so not as budget friendly.
Yeah.
If you do have a very low slope, elastomeric personally is, I think it's the best for many reasons. Number one, it's cheaper than metal. Than a metal roof. Number two, in comparison with, let's say, tar and gravel. The problem with tar and gravel is the later word, which is gravel. When you have a sloped roof and you have gravel, the gravel tend to, with wind and what have you, fly off, and you have to keep on adding gravel and maintaining it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you are drastically decreasing the life of the tar. The biggest enemy for the tar is the sun. And that's why we cover it with gravel, is because we want to keep it shielded from the sun. So the more you're going to not maintain it, because a lot of times, truth be told, we tend to forget and, you know, we don't look at it as often, the more chances we have to have issues with it. So that's one of the major thing. The other aspect of it is the weight. Gravel has certain weight to it, so it's adding to the structure, putting a bit more stress on your roof trusses as well. So it's a win-win if you go with an elastomeric, because you'll save money. Elastomeric is fairly easy to fix in case you have an issue, and it's also easy to inspect, meaning you don't need to be a professional roofer to see if the roofer did a good job or not. The way you want to judge it is by looking if there's any bubbling in the rolling of the membrane, if you have any air gaps, if you see that the seams are nicely overlapped and welded, you know, then you know that at least someone is doing a good job.
I see. I have a question. So we have these large chimneys, mm-hmm. and ice and snow used to build up against the chimney. So we ended up putting a, what they call in French, a dodan, a hump.
Okay.
Or like a metal structure in the shape of a V in front of the chimney, so that ice and snow would move around it instead of build up against it. And are they able to mitigate that with membrane as well?
I mean, look, whatever usually, because when it comes to roofing and chimneys, what you're looking at is flashings more than roofing systems, right? So,
yes.
I mean, pretty much on a flat roof, there are components that have to be sealed. We have plumbing vents, we have ventilation vents, we have all kind of things, chimneys and what have you. I mean, you do have fireplaces on flat roofs and duplexes everywhere, and you see there's no issue with that. So anywhere where shingles work, elastomeric would work.
Fantastic. Would you be able to recommend, we had some damage after the ice storm when the, when a tree fell on our power line and bent our mast, power mast, and mm-hmm. we had to replace that. And, in the meantime, we're going to try to repair the area around the mast. But we're finding it very difficult to find a company that does tar and gravel. Would you be in a position perhaps to recommend a company in the meantime while we do our research to find a company that does elastomer?
I would off-air for sure. Now, let me just ask you prior. Is it a repair or a complete job?
No, it would be a repair.
Okay. And the reason I ask this is because there's certain companies that are great, but they don't do much repair except in the winter and emergency repairs. And there are others that are, they have a team just for repairs. So that will help us a lot in the referral process.
That would give us enough time to find a company that does elastomer and then choose one that we feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Now, a word of caution with elastomeric, just because we're talking about it right now, they come in different colors. Always try to choose the color white, although they will charge you a bit more for it. But a lot of municipalities now are imposing that for environmental reasons. It also have a lot of good attributes because it does not decay a lot with the sun and the heat. So it's a win.
So you're saying a lighter color?
Always. Preferably white if possible.
Al, we got to run. We're up against the clock, but I hope that was some help for you this morning.
Is there any possibility that I can get the name of a repair company?
Yeah, we're going to take your number down off the air and we'll be in touch.
Perfect. I really appreciate that very much. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
514-790-0800, number to call if you want to talk to Walter Assey from Renovco. Another one from the text line before we get to Steve, who's waiting on the phone. It says here, good morning, Walter. My question is, I have water in my mudroom on the bottom. The wood is wet and rotting. It's hard to get to. Does it have to be removed completely? Or is there a treatment I can use to avoid removing all that bottom frame? That's from Ken out in Lachute.
Okay. So a couple of things. Number one is, what's the source? The thing with text is we can always, unfortunately, ask a question, so mm-hmm. we have to improvise a little bit. Mm-hmm. The source would have to be stopped. That's number one. Number two, there are ways. It depends on how fresh the source is. So let's say it's a water damage that is recent. So within 24 to 48 hours, we can install rescue mats on the floor. And what they are, in essence, are heating pads that use suction at the same time in order to suck the humidity out of the floor, of the wood floor. And more particularly, it's very important to say wood floor, because there are other pads, but they have different names for ceramic floors. So in this case, you want to bring the humidity level in the floors below 23%, which is where wood rot would start. And that, usually you keep that machine for about 3 days. If you use it within a 24-hour to a 48-hour intervention time, the success ratio is extremely high. Mm. Anytime after that, it becomes less drastic, because then you're going to have the cupping and the delamination of the floor, which becomes much harder to get rid of. Having said that, where it gets to be a lot more challenging is what's underneath that floor. In a lot of cases, you see felt paper underneath the floor, or black paper, if you want to call that. And that retains moisture. And that, when you have that, when you have that felt paper retaining moisture, it creates mold almost instantaneously. So in this case, you would have no choice but to rip out the floors and get rid of your black paper. The other option would be, is what's the access from underneath? Okay, so if it's a damage that, for example, underneath is unfinished, then you could do aggressive drying from below. What the texter have said, and that's key, is that it's rotting wood. Rotting wood is not really, there's not much to do to save it except change it. because the decay will keep on forming, and you know the action of rot comes from mold. So that means the mold is already there.
Thank you, sir. 9:26. We're going to go to Steve. He's got a question about a problem in his bathroom. Steve, Il Perot, right?
Yes. A comment and then a question.
Okay.
Comment is about the bathroom. When Ken, while you were golfing last week, there was a guy who called about fruit flies around his toilet, and you were trying to figure out where that was coming from. We've had that before. It was actually a bird's nest in our vent. And that from the bird's nest, I guess there's gnats or whatever, and they come through the vent and they stick around the toilet. So if you are still talking to that person, you can let them know to check out the vent.
Okay. Very good. And your question, Steve?
And my question is about the front door. We have a front door outside with the metal. Can we paint that? Like you just use Tremclad, or is there some other way of doing that?
You can. The it's metal, you said, right? So Tremclad is a good brand. I don't know what your plan is, if you're gonna spray paint it or if you're gonna just roll it.
Yeah, that I don't know what would be better. I guess spray would probably be better, I guess.
Spray is a lot better if you know what you're doing. Okay. That's the issue with the spray. You have to apply the right pressure that not a lot of product comes out. Because if you're not really good with your hand and your movement, what happens is the spray you'll have excess paint. So you'll have all these lines dripping and they're very hard to get rid of. And then you have the paint dust to deal with as well afterwards.
Right.
So if you know what you're doing, for sure, spray paint is a lot better. It's a lot messier. So you have to do proper protection and what have you. If not, you could do it with a roller. Unfortunately, with the roller, it will show that it's painted. So you're not going to have that beautiful, clean finish that you would have had coming out from the shop, which is like, they do it in a camera or an oven, for that matter. So it comes out nicely, nice finish and baked and very, like, smooth. So that's pretty much it. I mean, as far as materials is concerned, the Tremclad does very good work. If you have any rust, obviously you would have to prime that before. In any which case, I think you should apply primer. That will be always a good thing to do. And the idea is if you do apply primer, do some light sanding after to get rid of all the particulate that's left behind, all the dust, the paint dust, the primer dust, and then apply the first and the second coat.
Okay.
How's that, Steve?
That sounds good.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks. You too.
All right. I appreciate that information, too, on the fruit flies. Thank you very much. All right. It's time to head off to the CJAD 800 newsroom, and then we'll come back with the second half. Eric in Valleyfield, we'll get to you in just a second as well. 514-790-0800. More with Walter and the Home Improvement Show right after this.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Mm-hmm. 9:35, second half of the Home Improvement Show with Mr. Walter Rassi from Renovco. Mr. Walter Rassi.
When you're that big, they call you Mr., I guess.
Mr. They call him Mr. Rassi. Eric in Valleyfield wants to talk to you, Walter. Eric, good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on out there?
I got a little problem with the foundation finishing on my basement wall.
Okay.
The foundation has fallen off of the back side of the house near a window, quite a big piece, around 3 feet by 3 feet. Hmm. And I was wondering if there's somebody that does that work that you would do, or if somebody else would do it.
I'm just going to make you repeat that. You said a piece of your foundation fell off?
Pardon?
Did you say a piece of your foundation fell off?
Yeah, a piece of the finishing of
okay.
the foundation.
Okay, you mean the parging?
The parging, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Has fallen off about 3 feet by 3 feet.
Hmm. Okay. And any reason why that happened? Is there like a gutter downspout there or
well, the gutter, there's no gutter's not down there. It's there's a basement window right near there.
Okay.
And the downspout is on the other side, the back side.
Okay. Typically, this kind of work is done by any cement contractor. you know, any really cement company that doesn't have to be a foundation company. There are more specialized, if you want, you know, those guys that do cement slabs in garages and what have you, because they're two different trades. That's what most people confuse. You call a foundation guy, he's probably not going to be that interested doing that job, because he's more a form guy than a cement guy. And that's a common mistake. So what you need to call it a cimentier, like they call it in French, or a concrete guy, per se. And in your case, it's always better to find a guy that is local. Guy from the South Shore or the North Shore is not going to want to go all the way to Valleyfield for a 3x3 repair, whereas a local guy can maybe fit you in. So if you start by looking at the right trade, you'll find them. There's quite a few, and if you go on Google, there are some that actually specialize in doing only crepi. That in French is crepi.
Would you say that because of that piece in the back, that the whole foundation would have to be done?
No. So what happens with time is, because, I mean, parching is a thin coat of mortar that is applied. Yeah. And in certain cases, even when they apply it fresh, if you do a tour, you could find that in certain cases you have those very micro cracks that starts appearing due to an error in the application, or sometimes in the inconsistency of the concrete. They added too much water, or the batch was not a great batch. So more often than not, you don't see them because people don't go in and with the microscope and start inspecting. With time, those cracks become bigger, and then that piece falls. So chances are, from day one when this was applied, there was an inadequate application. And now, just with the movement of the house and, you know, the corrosion and the rain and the water, it just fell off.
This house moved quite a lot, so...
Yeah.
In this area here, there's a small piece in the front of the house, about 3 inches or some 4 inches, that has fallen off also.
Yeah.
It's been off for a long, long time, that piece, but...
Okay.
So I don't know if we'd have to do the whole area there, or...
What you want to do is, I mean, when you bring in the guy... you let him tap through the whole crepi. He comes in and he taps it, and he's going to see all the weak areas and mark them. And then he's going to, even there's areas that are not maybe out, but they are on their way out. So he will break them off, and then he will do them. Ask him to verify the whole foundation, but point the areas that you've seen yourself first, and then go through it. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is, what you're doing is purely cosmetic. I don't know if you know that. I have nothing to do with the foundation itself or the impermeability of the foundation, meaning parging is just to make the foundation look better and not rough. So you don't have to be in a rush shop, you know, to find someone. There's nothing structural, nothing to worry about.
Well, I have my neighbor. She's supposed to have got me to two places. They're supposed to call me to have it done, but I wanted to make sure whoever does it, it's well done, because there could be a chance one day we'll be putting the house up for sale. So I want to make sure it's done right, you know?
100%. 100%. I mean, the idea is you want to see how many years they're in the business and how many years they can guarantee the work. If the guy tells you, I guarantee my repair for, you know, 1 month, it's not, you know... It's not really gonna be worth the investment. But most importantly is just ensure while he's there that he does all the repairs all at the same time. Number one, it will make it worth his while. And number two, you don't have to call him. And by the way, another word of caution I want to send your way: do not call him and tell him, I have a 3x3 parging repair to do. He's never going to show up.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's going to say, oh, I'm not going for
that. Don't lead with that.
It's not even worth my gas.
So just
say, I need some parging to be redone. And keep it open like that. Get him in there and then make the deal.
Reel him in, Eric. Reel him in.
Sometimes you have to be creative to get a contractor to your house.
Eric, good luck with that. Thank you.
You couldn't recommend anybody, huh?
I mean, we could, off air always, we could, but we have to find someone in your area. We are in the process of...
Well, what I'm going to do is my neighbor is supposed to have got me two places. She says they're supposed to call me. Yeah. So I'll let them see what they do.
Yeah, Eric, good luck with that. You have to go, these guys, any exterior work, their season is way too short, and then you add a week like we had last week with all the rain, and it just becomes a lot shorter. So the idea is you have to go after these guys. They're not going to be calling you.
Eric, okay. We got to run.
Okay, then.
Good luck.
Thanks very much.
Good luck to you on that. I'm going to throw a question at you. I got 3 minutes. Are you up to the challenge?
Sure.
Good morning, Walter. What's the best paint to use on a metal front door that's in the direct sun most of the day? The outside surface gets quite warm even in the winter, and there's no rust on the door. Thanks for your help. That's Colleen. What's the paint on a metal front door?
I mean, look, it's always, again, it's not really the brand. I mean, Benjamin Moore have great metal paints. They even have Aura paint that is good for metal and everything else. When you have direct sunlight, one of the things that you could do to help is choose light colors. Mm-hmm. If you have a black door in direct sunlight, obviously that door is getting a beating all day long. But there's not one brand that we say it's the best. What's important is, number one, the preparation, we always say that. And number two, you're using the adequate paint brand for metal. That's what's important. Like the previous caller said, Tremclad does good product. Benjamin Moore have nice products as well. You know, we're meeting with Behr representatives, and they have a new... they have a presentation to do for us, and we're going to actually try some of their products. I haven't, to be quite frank, tried it, but they're singing a lot about the good stuff with that paint, so we'll fill you in on that. So we get approached a lot to try even new things.
You get pitched.
And to give our opinion, what have you. We will be building a database, because we're really getting asked a lot to build a database on products that we like. So that will be done. It will be in the website. And we're also probably going to work on suppliers as well as contractors that, you know, that we think are trustworthy and what have you. So that's all going to be coming in the future months.
All right. That's Walter Assey.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Right back to the phone. People are waiting to talk to Walter from Renovco. We're going to go to the Eastern Townships for John. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Very well. Yourself?
Good. What do you want to talk to Walter about?
Well, I'd like to talk to him about insulation and, not insulation, actually the vapor barriers. Mm. I'm building a 16x14 wooden cabin, post and beam, and I had originally planned to insulate it from the outside to show the woodwork on the inside. But then I changed my mind. But I had already put up a poly vapor barrier on the exterior of the cabin. Now, I have that on presently, but I'm insulating on the inside, so I also have a reflective paper vapor barrier on the inside of the cabin. Mm-hmm. Now, should I take off the insulation that I put on the exterior before I put the final cladding, which is going to be board and batten?
100%.
Yes.
100%. You want the vapor barrier always to be on the warm side of where you're heating, right? So that's where it's supposed to be the last line of defense. When you put it on the wrong side, what you're going to create is condensation, which is going to create you all kind of issues. And we've seen it in our business. We get subjected to a lot of these things, which allows us to reverse engineer mistakes, if you wish. So when you have the vapor barrier on the wrong side, there's nothing good that can come out of it. What you want to do is, if let's say you didn't do it from the inside and the vapor barrier was the warmest part of the last line of defense, then that would have been fine. But in this case, now you're gonna be creating all kind of issues. So, you know, on the outside, you could always put an isoclad. That's not a problem. That's actually good. Gives you additional insulation and what have you. But there's no vapor barrier characteristics in the isoclad.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that's what you'd say. Yeah. Thank you for confirming.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I mean, and it's not a national secret. You know, you could easily research that on your own just to make sure that you're making the right decision. Mm. But again, vapor barriers always on the warmest side of the wall.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
how's that, John?
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good weekend. Let's go to St. Leonard for Giovanni. Giovanni, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm on.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Can you take us off speaker? Come to the phone.
Okay, sure.
Be a little more closer, a little more. Yeah, we still hear you. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone.
Hello.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling concerning my dad has a fiveplex. We plan to do the conversion from presently we have oil without water to electric.
Okay.
And I'd like to know, because we want to put five furnaces for every tenant. We have a fiveplex. I want to know his advice on that, if he was recommended. If any good, I don't know.
I mean, you will lose your... Who pays for the hydro and the heat?
Presently, we pay the heating right now, but after the conversion, the tenants are going to pay their own electricity.
Okay. So if the tenants are going to pay, it's not an issue anymore for you as a landlord to go with electric, because electric conversion as an initial investment is going to be cheaper than natural gas or propane.
Yes, yes.
If you are an owner-occupied, you do want to get the buy energy, so you want to go stay with natural gas or, you know,
We don't have natural gas around the area.
Or propane. But in your case, it's a fiveplex, and the tenants are paying, so electric conversion would make a lot of sense.
Okay, okay.
And you look into the grants. There's a lot of grants that are being given right now, and it's going to be worth it for you because there's five furnaces, so you could get a good chunk of change back from hydro for that.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Are you putting heat pumps as well, or just electric furnaces?
We already have five heat pumps.
Okay. Well, that's the word of caution. Just ensure that your heat pump is the same brand as your furnace, and they're very well compatible together, or else you're going to have all kind of problems.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Giovanni.
That's what happens when you kind of Frankenstein two systems. You always have issues. Okay, so just if you have a train, just call a train specialist. If you have a Lennox, call a Lennox. You know, and they all do good furnaces, so it's not going to be an issue. Just make sure that your heat pump and your furnace are compatible. That's very, very, very important.
Okay, sir.
Thanks, Giovanni.
All right, thank you. All right. Have a nice day, guys.
Did you use the term Frankenstein just a second ago? I like it. I love it.
Yeah.
One more. We're going to sneak in Glenn from Chateauguay. Glenn, hi.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask, I live in a condo. There's a condo above me. She hasn't been there for 4 years. The bank has taken over. They're going to change the locks and move in and sell it. What do you think, is there things we should be doing to it that has been there for 4 years idle?
Probably. A lot of these times when we go into abandoned properties, if you wish, you see all kind of issues. You know, I don't know if she heated the condo. We've been in places where there was no heat in the condo and there was all kind of mold issues and you know, due to condensation or what have you. So what you want to do is you want to test the air quality first and foremost. You want to look for any signs of water damages or... you know, any signs of decay at all, of anything, really. And you might want to have it treated, call an exterminator, just to ensure that everything is, you know, there was no infestation of any kind during that time. Check the plumbing very carefully, because you don't know if any pipes have frozen, if the water is closed. You know, it doesn't hurt to have a general mechanical checkup on everything, like electrical, ventilation, plumbing, and what have you. And then after that, you should be good to go. But things, when they don't get used, unfortunately, they decay. You could have cracked pipes that you don't know about. You could have all kind of different issues. Just make sure that you have a checklist and you go over the most important, the air quality and the mechanics. After everything else is less important.
Glenn, how long did you say it was empty for?
4 years.
4 years, eh?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. And more often than not, things have not been taken care of. You know, they're not heated usually in a lot of cases, so they could create a lot of damage once you put them back in operation.
Okay. So do you think it's like you should have someone come in and look at it before you start flushing sinks and toilets? Like,
I mean, if you are going to be doing all of that, that's not a problem. Just make sure that someone is very close to the shutoff valve. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't hurt to have a plumber and electrician coming and just inspecting everything for an hour or so.
Glenn, we got to run.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Walter, thank you.
My pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.
Walter Assey from Renofco, back next Saturday morning to host and answer your questions on the Home Improvement Show. I'm Ken Connors. Thanks to Jimmy, Emily, Don standing by with the latest, and Lisa standing by with the car show. That's coming up next here on CJAD 800.